Hi, this is Daniel Garber at the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. But with globalization, things affect the whole planet all at once, even if they only happen in one place. Earth is being all shook up, like last year's earthquake and tsunami in Japan. I remember seeing those horrific scenes of towns being swept away, the cars, and the ongoing tension about the nuclear leak in Fukushima. So in gratitude for the support of the international community, the Japan Foundation in Toronto is offering a series of free films next week at Innes College called Light Up Japan. Documentaries are all about what has happened since the disaster in that area and how the people are coping with it. Check out the Japan Foundation, GAFTOR.org, for more information. So in keeping with the theme of global events, this week I'm looking at two movies with whole planet-sized topics. One is about a kid trying to save the Earth from total destruction. The other is a man who finds himself as part of the potential ruin of Mars. Okay, first, The Lorax, directed by Chris Renaud and Kyle Balda. So Ted lives in Thneedville, a plastic suburban shopping mall town where life is controlled by a Mr. O'Hare, who's a nasty rich guy who makes his fortune bottling air and who spies on everyone in the town. So Ted has a crush on his neighbor Audrey, who's into trees, which actually don't exist anymore. People use plastic trees instead. Audrey says she wishes she could see a real one someday. So, taking his grandmother's advice, Ted climbs onto his vehicle. It's sort of a unicycle, Segway, scooter, and sneaks out of the city to find the Onceleer, the only person who still knows the truth. He discovers that the vast wasteland outside of Thneedville once was a land of rainbows and happy fish and droopy birds and teddy bears who ate the berries from the puffball trees and lived happily and peacefully. But an industrialist uses the puffballs to make a knitted, stringy thing called the thneed that consumers buy the millions. He decides it's cheaper and easier to cut down all those trees rather than using their puffballs as a renewable resource. Only the Lorax, a tiny mustachioed environmentalist who descends from the heavens in a thunderstorm, can save the day if only people will listen. He speaks for the trees, you see. I thought this movie's okay, but it really seemed to stretch the short Dr. Seuss book into a 90-minute song and dance musical. It soft pedals the problems of industrial pollution and consumerism. It reduces the motivation from art and environmentalism to a boy wanting to kiss a girl. It kept the wonderful Seuss-like scenes of the valley to a minimum and overemphasized the non-Seuss humdrum suburban scenes filled with your usual 3D sitcom characters. It's not a bad movie, and of course it's great to tell kids about environmentalism and privacy, but the songs were dull, the characters not so interesting, the story not very original, and the animation and character style didn't live up to what I expect from a Dr. Seuss story. Interesting fact, The Lorax earned more money in its first weekend than Hugo did in its entire run. Next, John Carter, directed by Andrew Stanton. Okay, John Carter is a mean and strong fighter, a cavalryman from the Civil War. He can escape from jail, scrapple with anyone, weapon or not. He's good on horseback, keen with a sword and rifle. And he doesn't take sides. Apache or U.S. Army, they're all the same. He doesn't want any part of it. He just wants to find the cave of gold in the Arizona desert. But when he encounters a stranger in the cave and repeats the word Barsoom while touching a glowing amulet, he's magically transported to Mars, a land of great civilizations far beyond Earth's imagination. So strong, tough John Carter, though smaller than the four-armed tusked Tarks, some of the creatures live there, soon discovers he can leap high in the air and jump long distances because of the different gravity there. He soon finds himself in the middle of a huge war between the city of Helium and the bad Zodanga. And he meets Deja, a beautiful princess warrior as well as a physicist, inventor, and a great swordswoman to boot, who is being forced to marry into marrying a bad guy from the other kingdom. Meanwhile, the shape-shifting super gods who are manipulating everyone on that planet are messing things up. It's up to John Carter to save civilization, but he's not sure he wants to. He just wants to find the amulet and go back to Earth at first. But with the help of his speedy and faithful dog monster, Woa, and the noble and honest Thark guide Sola, he and Deja must find mutual trust, love, truth, and possibly romance in the search for the secrets of this planet. As you can tell, there's a very long, plot-heavy story about an adventure on Mars. And like comics, manga, pulp fiction, serial drama, the story takes precedent over feelings, emotions, or characters. It's more the action, the twists, the background, the secrets, the fights, the betrayals, and the fantastical sex-tinged images that carry it through. But it carries it through amazingly well in this 2.5-hour epic. People call everything an epic now, but this is an actual epic. I thought it was amazing. It's done in the style of Frank Frazetta's illustration. You know, women in exotic garb with pendulous breasts and black tresses, men with steely eyes and bared chests brandishing their swords toward the red skies. Yes! Feels more like Roman sword and sandal story than science fiction. It's based on Edgar Rice Burroughs' novels. It has a mainly British cast plus Canadian Taylor Kitsch, who's just great in the title role. I like Lynn Collins, never heard of her, as Deja, and Dominic West from The Wire as one of the many assorted bad guys in this cast of thousands picture. Want to be overwhelmed by an elaborate, exciting movie getaway with a complicated fantasy plot that never lets up for a second? This is the one to see. The Lorax is playing now, and John Carter opens today in Toronto, and the Japanese documentaries are playing all next week at Innes College. This is Daniel Garber at the Movies every Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.